that we're having Catherine Olson's service 1 o'clock on Wednesday for you who need to know that information. So, you know, I'm having a little bit of a hard time because there was a phrase in the song that said, "When we stand in your presence, we'll be undone." And just think, I all of a sudden started thinking, what is that going to be like to be in heaven and stand in the presence, which I have a feeling we're going to go right to our face, don't you? But stand in God's presence in all of heaven, I think we can safely say we're going to be undone. I remember Isaiah standing in the presence of the Lord, and he says, "I'm undone, a man of unclean lips," was his first response out of that. And I thought, boy, it's too easy for us to come into church, listen to a sermon and sing a few songs and go home and then not let it affect our heart. Do you hear me this morning? Can you hear that, me with your spiritual ears on that? We want to walk out with something that changes our life and strengthens us in our life. So I want to go to our reading this morning in Ephesians 6. I'm going to read the black and you're going to read the blue. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." To stand, yeah. Boy, what a great section of scripture. You know, the central point here is that we are going to, that we are to stand against our enemy, deflecting his attempt, but not engaging in combat with Satan, because we don't even know what we're doing in that realm. We're just to stand and hold our ground and deflect his attempts to seduce us into sin. And all that is by using the tools and protections of the armor, because it's the armor that we actually already have on and are equipped with. We just have to be reminded of it. And you're going to see as we go through each one of these that the Bible says we already have them. And we need to cling to it. We need to recall it. And with it, we need to stand against the evil and temptations that are launched at us. Because, as you know, and I thought about that this week, because as I began to study this on a Monday, when I came, I thought, I'm going to go right into my sermon, and I started studying, and it made me so aware of the barrages and the darts and the arrows that the evil one sends after us that typically we just kind of hardly think about. And so as I started out, I had these flashes of temptation go through my mind, in and out. Okay, and you probably could relate to some of these, but it's almost like Satan is throwing darts at us. Think, okay, where is he weak this morning, right? Where is that one place that I can get into? And so, all of a sudden, in my mind, I'm tempted to lie. I think, what am I lying about? And then I'm tempted to take an item that somebody left. It goes through my head, and I think, what would I even want with that item, right? And then all of a sudden, I have a flash of attraction. And then I get frustrated with losing my pen, and I'm looking around for my pen, and I'm starting to get hot about it. And then all of a sudden, start having a backlash and a kind of a defensive mode for a criticism that somebody said to me a long time ago, not even in the present. And then I all of a sudden have this resistance to read the Word of God. And then pretty soon boredom sets in, And I'm sidetracked on the issues that I'm doing. And then I all of a sudden I think about Facebook and I'm thinking, should I look at it or take it off my phone? And then I get sidetracked in the study. I start watching the clock. I think, man, I got to find something to eat here. I'm resistant to returning calls all of a sudden, and I become focused and fixed on an item that needs to be fixed on my car. And it's all of a sudden I'm thinking, is it warm enough that I can ride my bike this morning or this week? And what's the weather now? And then I think, well, wait a minute, what am I preaching on? And then I think, oh, wait a minute, I didn't open the front door. And then I want to clean and rearrange my desk. And then I notice dust on my blinds. And finally, I think, God, help me here. I needed to pray to get focused. And that was just the first hour on Monday. But can you relate to that? You've got to love this weak flesh, right? You've got to love it. I mean, trying to find contentment but never being successful. I could so relate to when Paul says in Romans 7, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can save me from this body of death?" Because the flesh is always working against us. And so this morning, I kind of wanted to, before we get into the armor, I wanted to ask the question, why? Why do we have to deal with this weak flesh when God could have changed our flesh at the moment of salvation and we wouldn't have to worry about it? Why in the world did he keep us in this? What was his plan and purpose? And I look at it and I think, why is our flesh so desperate on satisfaction? You know, as I thought about that this week, I thought, you know, in 1965, this song came out I really liked, and I bet you do too. It was by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, and it was sung by the Rolling Stones. And let's see if you can follow me on this. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. I try and I try and I try and I try. I can't get no satisfaction. Okay, all right. A little out of my song ream. yeah, right. A completely biblical concept. Right? Isn't it? Man, we're always looking for that satisfaction. And I look at it and I think, man, those guys came up with a totally biblical, our flesh cannot get satisfied. It works at it. It epitomizes that flesh desire and temptation to be satisfied and content with all the wrong solutions, right? It's amazing. And in other words, I want our, you know, I wonder what it's like because the body now wants to be the body in heaven. Do you realize that? I mean, in some ways, it's almost innocent and turns to sin. It's like this body understands the flesh is not right, and it looks for everywhere to be like what it'll be in heaven and uses the wrong ways to get there. And, you know, once I understood that concept, I thought, oh, it made it so much easier to stay away because I realized all my flesh wants to be is where I want to be. Amen? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. If you have your Bibles, we'll have it up here. So I thought, well, wait a minute. Well, in order to answer this question, why, I'm sure that Christ is a good example of that answer because if it happened to him, then it makes sense to us. So Hebrews 5, 7 starts out with this. Who, meaning Jesus, in the days of his flesh... Okay, now I want you to think about this for a second. Christ was born in the flesh with a weak flesh like ours. He was flesh and blood, and he was tempted in all things, Hebrews says, yet without sin. So he went through the same temptations, all those thought processes that he had to push out of his mind. He did a pretty good job of it. And so it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, supplication means requests, with vehement cries, with weeping out loud. So there were times when Jesus just flat out cried out loud to his Father. And I think we all can relate that either in our heart or out loud, right? Aren't there times when you just want to cry? You know? And so he does that, and he says, with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard. And the way they said it is because of his godly fear, but it really is heard from the reverent one, meaning the Father. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. Now listen to this. Yet he was a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, completed, or matured, he became the author, the cause of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Now think about this for a minute. Jesus, weak in the flesh, first obeyed, second became mature, and third became the cause of our salvation. But he lived through the same trouble as we do with the flesh, and yet he matured to obedience and maturity. And it didn't come because he was deity or had special powers. He set all those aside. So also, we also learn obedience, wisdom, and understanding from suffering, but we don't always choose the right road. I think that's pretty redundant to even say, isn't it? We just don't choose the right road at times like Jesus did. But what's the real lesson at hand here? We are still in these bodies because God is teaching us to love and to respond in love like he does. And that's what it's all about in this body of Christ, is learning to love and respond in love. In the middle of temptation and sin and suffering and times that you're crying out loud with tears and disappointment, when you feel that way, God is teaching us to be like him in our weakest moments. It's our weakest moments that we have the problems. Listen to the narrative in Genesis when God is talking about man. He says, "Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our own likeness." And so Adam and Eve were created. They didn't understand sin like God did because they hadn't experienced it. And so listen to Satan as Satan tempts Eve and takes a truth and slightly twists it. "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good from evil.'" And so when they sinned, did they become like God, knowing good from evil? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Satan threw it out there as a temptation, and there was a truth enough in there that they bought it. But they didn't understand the price that they would pay and the price that we pay as a result of that. And then in verse 22 of chapter 3 says, "And then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good from evil,'" or good and evil. And so God grows and maturity in us, and we grow in love through pain and knowing good and evil. And he has kept us in this weak flesh to continue to teach us to do and imitate exactly what Jesus did. And so we finally learn obedience when we understand the price of disobedience. Do you hear me this morning? So our heart cry is, God, I'll love you and serve you no matter what they say or do, no matter what my flesh wants to do. And we learn to stand against the evil one with God's power and protection. So let's look at our next piece of armor. Turn back with me to Ephesians 6. Verse 15, this week we will learn that we have already put on the breastplate of righteousness because Christ put his righteousness into us and on us. So it says, stand therefore, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, this week, someone reminded me of an exposure that happened on the internet where there was an adultery website. Do you remember that? It was a few years back. It was an adultery website, and they hacked it and got all the names and published them. Okay? And it was a site where people would find each other and hook up. And I thought about the unrighteousness of men because one of the people that had looked at the names asked me about one of the pastors in town that was on that list. And I thought, oh, man. The unrighteous acts of men trying to find that satisfaction. Of unguarded and unprotected leaders and influential people who were on that list, all of them thinking they would find contentment and happiness through sin. But then I had to stop and think about myself, about you, and I thought about our unrighteous acts in our own lives. We may not be on that list, but we have those things in our life. And, you know, it's funny because don't we want to try to act righteous? At times, we just want so badly to look good. And inside, some of you may be falling apart. Some of you may be okay. But there's times when we feel miserable as a result of it. And God says, stand therefore in my own power, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And we look back to the Apostle Paul, who was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He was fervent in the law. And he said, even according to Moses' law, he was blameless. And he penned these words. And we need to hear these words today. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. He's thrown away his precious and prestigious Hebrew life. And he says, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. We all eventually come to that place if we don't harden our hearts. Because all that we are and all that we think we are, all the things that we build ourselves up into mind to cover up our low self-esteem or whatever it may be, become garbage at some point in your life. Right? Somewhere along the life, you have to admit you're not going to do what you thought you were going to do, and it becomes garbage, as Paul says. Big careers, big spiritual gifts, perfect family, perfect kids, right? Getting gobs of money and saving it up so you have no worries. Making a big difference in the world, a big splash. Gaining power, proving that we're somebody. And it all comes down to nothing at one point, or many points in our life, maybe. Because, my friends, we have no righteousness on our own. The Bible's clear about that. I want you to turn to Romans 3:21. Jesus dies in faith and transfers his righteousness to us, and we have received the righteousness of God given by Christ to you and me. And we now live out of his righteousness. And so in Romans 3:21, it says this, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now listen to this, even the righteousness of God through the faith of Jesus Christ to all and upon all who believe. Do you believe this morning? Then the righteousness is put on you. And we received his righteousness at the moment that we trusted in him. And so today's word, if we have it down to a single word, is dependency. We are dependent on Christ. And we are righteous only because of Christ's personal faith that applied the righteousness to us. And that, my friend, is our breastplate. His righteousness is given to us when we believe. So what does God say to us this morning? Well, I want to read Psalms 37 to you, because this is a principle that floats all the way through Scripture. Listen to this. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your what? Righteousness as the light. Let me just read that again, because you may have missed it. And He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. You know, from God's point of view, we don't have to work at this. From God's point of view, we just have to be dependent and accept it. He has made us righteous. And now we can live out righteousness, because He will bring it to pass if we're looking at Him. So remember your breastplate. As those darts fly past you, you're righteous because you have Christ's righteousness. I want to close with this thought to you. You know, it wasn't too long ago I was going through my Bible, and I tipped my coffee and spilled it on my Bible. You ever do that? It's like, you know, it's almost like, I don't know. And so I quickly took a napkin I had and wiped it up, and it seemed fine. And I thought to myself, does that Bible become a non-Bible because I've stained it? Right? Well, isn't that good logic? Does the Bible become a non-Bible because I stained it? No, it doesn't. And because you spilled sin here and there on your righteous plate, does that make it not a breastplate of righteousness? No. We're protected, my friends. It doesn't make you unrighteous in God's eyes. He sees the breastplate of righteousness, and we hang on to that breastplate of righteousness, because don't we want to live righteous? Yeah, but we've got to be dependent on Him. Grace begins to teach us to imitate our breastplate. So the best words I can think of to close this out, since we are righteous, let's depend on God to act like it. Let's let Him bring it forth in us rather than us trying to act like it. Because the moment you take the power, you lose, right? It just is life. Let's pray. Father, we just come this morning. Lord, help us to hold on to that breastplate and remember it. Lord, sometimes not even thinking about putting our hand on our chest, when these arrows fly and spears fly, that our temptation, some ridiculously stupid temptations that float through our head, others that we're a little more vulnerable to, help us to remember we have your blessed breastplate of righteousness. Jesus Christ applied His righteousness to us, and we get to claim that righteousness. The moment we step into heaven, we can tell God we are righteous because Jesus Christ made us righteous. Lord, we can't wait for that day when we can stand before You and feel that sense of being undone. Lord, because we are undone. We sometimes don't even get it, how You look at us, but we are Your children. And Lord, may we depend on You and operate in Your power rather than just to operate in our power, because we get in trouble in our power. I pray, O Lord, I beg You on behalf of Christ to help us here to walk in righteousness in Your power. Our heads are